Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
I am Velocity Child, and every Friday at the stroke of midnight, ride the broomstick with fallen woman, stirring up the cauldron at Radio Free Brooklyn.
I'm about to literally just do a TV show right now. This is great. I can tell you about my favorite Mr. Rogers quote. So Mr. Rogers has this quote, and I've always loved it. He said, if it's mentionable, it's manageable. Now, for Mr. Rogers, he was probably talking about how kids should feel they can talk through tough issues like, the first day of school or feeling sad or the moral bankruptcy of laundering money for Russian oligarchs in pursuit of political gain. But basically, if it's mentionable, it's manageable means talk about the hard stuff. I had no doubt that being a bedwetter in my teens was going to be my biggest secret, my greatest humiliation, my hugest shame. It made my childhood torture, and it wasn't until I got older that I just talked about it. And now I'm making money by talking about it on a TV show, oh my God, just like that fucking opportunist Mr. Rogers. Thank you. But he was right about so many things, and he taught me that there isn't anything in the world too big to deal with as long as you're brave enough to say it out loud. Okay, so I'm just gonna take the last thing still taboo in my life and say it right out loud to all of you, vulnerable as pie. My personal masturbation style. Okay. First, I look up porn on my phone, and I set it against my glass of water on my night table, and I'm on my stomach. Okay, when you see a woman masturbating in porn, she's always on her back, all sexy, like she's having the gentlest daydream. That's not how it is. That's fake news. It's on the stomach, and it's work. It takes elbow grease. Okay, so I'm on my stomach, and my glasses, I need glasses to read. And my glasses are, they're progressives, so I need to, I wear them upside down to see the porn. And that is when I started putting electrical tape over the camera lens whole thing, because honestly, even hackers don't deserve to see this. Now, my search words had always been, and first let me just say that none of these search words are things I would want to happen in real life, ever. I mean, like, at all. It's just the heart wants what it wants, a great man once said, who married his daughter. But, so my search words had always been gangbang, amateur, cum. It's crazy that you have to ask for cum in porn. Doesn't it seem like it would be a given? It's not. You have to ask for it. And then there's a fourth one. High fives. And here's the thing. So my niece has now ruined porn for me because she's in her 20s, and that's like the age that these girls in my gangbang porn are. And I'm calling bullshit on myself for this right now because I am acting like one of those guys who's like, I have a sister, I have a daughter, so I'm for women's rights. And women are like, even if you didn't have a sister or a daughter, you should be for women's rights just because we, like, also exist. Yeah. But, No, but I'm one of those guys because it shouldn't have taken me, my niece becoming 20, for me to be put off by the sight of a girl who's probably on drugs so she can stomach 9 anal sexes. Is that too sad? I know, I thought the turn of phrase would balance it out, like 9 anal sexes. It's, there's something like messy and adorable about it, but I may have overreached. Anyway, now, I'm sorry I'm itching my nose, but it's just natural. I had an itch there. So now I'm, happy to announce that I have all new search words, victimless crime search words, I really do. Okay, and they are Guy fucks mattress, comma, verbal. Now, this is what this is. A lot of times, it is just a guy fucking his mattress, like a hands-free fucking of his mattress. And that's fine, I do enjoy that. But more often, it's like a guy who's fucking a pocket pussy, which is just what it sounds like. It's a disembodied vagina. And he has a, like, he's wedged said pocket pussy between the mattress and the box spring. And I feel like if I had a penis, I would love this so much because it sounds like he's fucking it. And it sounds like it feels so good. It's like, I mean, I can't. I'm not good at impressions, but it sounds so, like, suctiony, like. Oh, and the verbal part of my search words is, like, just really dominant, aggressive, demeaning, dirty talk. So he's, like, he's fucking the pocket pussy, and he's like, yeah, you want it, you fucking whore. And it's just, it's so great because it's so vulnerable because he's by himself, you know? And there is not really a person there. And I don't know why, but I love it. I don't even know who I am in the scenario. Like, I don't even know who I am in the fantasy of this. Like, am I the guy? Am I the pocket pussy? I have no idea, but it just does it for me. Also, I don't know if pocket pussy is like a trademark, but they must have a monopoly over this stuff because in all of these videos, like all 8 of them, it's very niche, the pocket pussies are like wrapped in or like somewhere in the frame comes with a royal blue blanket. I don't have an explanation, it's weird. I mean, it's like the CEO of Pocket Pussy must be like, we can't send these out without a blanket. And I don't understand the reasoning behind it. And also, the Pocket Pussy has a, I'm noticing my own diction, and I have very good diction, and that's because of my mom, but it is funny that my diction is coming out of saying Pocket Pussy. Somewhere, she's like in outer space somewhere going like, thank you. The pocket pussies have like a clitoris on it, which I can't really figure out why. I mean, I can only think it's like so you know which way is up. But they, when they're fucking it, they'll like massage it like it's for her pleasure. Like, oh yeah, you like that? And I feel like it forms like bad habits because they're holding. Like, they're getting leverage from the back, and there is no back in real life. It's inside of us. That sounds so beautiful. It is inside of us. So, in summation, I would just like to say, I masturbate on my stomach with my glasses on upside down, and I'm pretty sure, in fact, I'm positive, that's what Mr. Rogers meant by if it's mentionable, it's manageable. Thank you.
One thing I like about living alone is I don't have to ask permission to do anything. I can just do whatever, whenever, right? I never have to think about things like, when am I supposed to masturbate, you know? And thank you for laughing. No, because it's sometimes people get uncomfortable, and I'm like, women have been masturbating for like 5 years now. It's totally fine. So, here's my point. I think if you're in a relationship, if you live with someone, you should pretend you don't masturbate. I know you don't want my advice. I'm divorced. I'm telling you, just pretend you don't. Just say you don't. I know sometimes guys, have you ever been at work and your live-in girlfriend or your wife calls you and goes, what time are you coming home? And you're like, I don't know. And she's like, what time do you think? What time? I don't know. And you get home and she hasn't like done anything, like no dinner ready or anything. You're like, why would she care? She was masturbating. That's it. When she says she's going to read in bed, she's masturbating. And I feel like we shouldn't be so free with admitting that to each other when we're in relationships. It eats away at things. Just act like you're only attracted to that person. I swear I think that might work. I really, really do. But I might be wrong. But here's the point is, I don't have to worry about it. I can do it whenever. Now, the point is, I'm not great at it. I mean, physically, I know how to do it. I am a smooth touch. But my head is so, it just doesn't stop. and I cannot relax enough to masturbate. And if you're uncomfortable with the word, I'm uncomfortable with the word a little bit. It's gross. You start picturing things. I start picturing like a guy doing it, which is gross. It's like a garden hose out of control. Like, when women masturbate, it's cute. It's like ringing a doorbell, like ding dong, ding dong, ding dong. You know. My God, I hope no one's home. I want to keep doing this thing.
So one day, Ricky and I decided to go indoor go-karting. And I grew up riding go-karts, but Ricky had never been before. And so I'm zipping around the track really fast. And I look over at Ricky, and she's driving so slow. And then all of a sudden, she stops in the middle of the track. And I was like, what the heck? Like, what is going on? Then I found out what was happening.
Well, here's what happened. Basically, I was sitting on a big, giant, vibrating piece of metal at a forward tilted angle. And yeah, and the faster I went, the more it vibrated. And then I was just like, uh-oh. So I decided to go really, really slow. But then I see Kate zipping by me, and for some reason, I thought, well, if she can go fast, I can go fast, which I don't know why I assumed we had the same vaginal sensitivity.
We don't.
I am a delicate flower. And Kate is an unshucked ear of corn. Nope, no, I can't. So I just pulled over and hung my head in shame for the rest of our time.
An unshucked ear of corn.
Yeah.
Huh? You know, the funniest part is you thought that we knew what was happening. Like, if you gave me 100 guesses, I would not have guessed that that is what was going on. And also, if that happened to everybody who went on a go-kart, I think go-karting would be a lot more popular.
Get on my go-kart, strap myself in. Rev up the engine, let the fun begin. Put my foot on the gas and I'm out of the gate. But the faster I go, the more the metal vibrates. My body's tingling from my head to my toes. But the thing that's really buzzing, I hope nobody knows. Cause I'm feeling kind of funny in a biblical way. Goddamn, it's shaking hard on my Georgia O'Keeffe bouquet. I never guessed this trembling machine would turn the motor on under my hood. Go-kart racing, accidentally masturbating. Go-kart racing, mechanicals are fornicating. Go-kart racing, no stop until I cross the finish line. Shifting gears, I can feel my heart throb. Hope nobody notices I'm getting a lube job. Don't need no gentleman to start my engine, cause I can even feel a little rear suspension. Trying to cover up my scandal like I'm Goldman Sachs, but is getting real on this indoor track. I'm about to go blind and I feel like a creep, cause it's pressing on my horn like beep beep beep. Now my driving is getting erratic, this transmission is automatic. Go-kart racing, accidentally masturbating. Go-kart racing, mechanical self-fornicating. Go-kart racing, no stop until I cross the finish line. If the fruit is ripe, you might as well pluck it. Was gonna slow down, but then I thought, f*** it. No one look at me, cause this is it. Green flag, go, go, holy s***. Go-kart racing, accidentally masturbating. Go-kart racing, mechanical self-fornicating. Go-kart racing, no stop until I cross the finish line. Key change, key change. Go-kart racing, accidentally masturbating. Go-kart racing, mechanicals are fornicating. Go-kart racing, no stopping till I cross the finish line. Hallelujah. Amen.
Thanks, guys. My dad loves that song.
Men lie, we lie, we live lies. That's That's why we so crazy. Every now and then we catch ourselves living a lie. We create a whole lie world around us. For instance, every man in this room is hiding some porno in his house. Every man in here got a pornography stash in the crib. Not an illegal amount, just enough to get you by. And when we hide porno, we go all out. It ain't behind the refrigerator or under the bed. No, we become Batman when it's time to hide some porno. That's right. You hit the light switch, the whole bookshelf shift to the side. You go down two flights and stairs into your porno cellar. Ah. Janet Jackme, yes. Toby Kai, Gina Jameson, that's right. But women always find the porno. Always find the porno. But they don't find it in the porno hiding place. Oh, no, no. Where do women find the porno at? In the VCR. And fellas are like, damn, how can I be so dumb to leave it in the VCR? I'll tell you why. Because when you're jerking off, you ain't in your right state of mind. Your brain's all cloudy and foggy. I'll tell you exactly what happened. One day, your woman left early. You had the whole house to yourself. So you said, hey, let me get a little jerk before work. So you in the house getting your jerk on. Nice, good jerk, too. You know that? Ain't nobody in the house jerk. That's a good jerk. It ain't like that somebody in the next room jerk. That's a bad jerk. That's like, eh, who there? I don't like that jerk. I'm talking about the good jerk. That nobody ain't home jerk. You get the Vaseline ready. And you just look at your dick and go scream if you want to. No one's gonna hear.
But you know, every now and then a bitch hits a dry spell, a lull. And you know, that is no reason not to have a screaming, throbbing orgasm, ladies. Because if you want a job done right, sometimes you got to. See, we all went to the same school. We know what the fuck's going on. Now, Lunel, am not afraid to say that I masturbate any fucking time I get ready. I will go to the bathroom and the grocery store and rub one out if I feel like it. I will. Because sometimes just the sight of them little oysters get me excited. You know, I'm an over-exerter. I am. And I like to do shit in excess, you know. And I had this hand up to 250 miles per hour. I was like, ring! Ring! And I did this shit so much, right? I burnt out the tendons and the carpuscles in my wrist. Bitch fucked around, got carpal tunnel. Kind of shit is that? So I said, well, shit. Couldn't feel my fingers. Well, that defeats the whole goddamn purpose, right? Well, I gotta get this shit, gotta get fixed. Fuck this. So I had the operation. But put my little arm was in a sling. And I'm not ambidextrous when it comes to rubbing one out. I can't do it with the left hand. I can't get my twist right. Some I can't, you know. I can't get my, you feel me? This motherfucker, but this bitch, she don't want to act right. So, I had got real cranky because it had been a couple of weeks and shit, you know? And my girlfriends were like, gosh, you're such a bitch. You need to like maybe get a little buddy or something, you know, because y'all cranky and shit. And I'm like, well, what kind of little buddy, you know? And she said, well, you need to get, you know, a vibrator. And so I said, well, okay, where do you get one from? You know, where's the little buddy store at or something? What, Best Buy got them fucking Big Lots? And... So she took me to a lovely, quaint, adorable little place called Good Vibration. I've been in a good vibration. So we went there and, you know, I didn't know what to get. I didn't know what suited me. So I tried this, you know, starter vibrator, a little AA battery piece of shit. That frustration machine, it should have been accompanied with a Barbie doll. You, I must be for little bitty little pussies. I got a big old grown woman motherfucking ass. Grown woman ass kitty cat. My shit, so little old, you know, whatever. And I was like, this bitch is full of shit. It only had two speeds, on and off. You will be wasting your whole day waiting to bust a nut with this motherfucker. I was like, this motherfucker must be broke. Then I got one that looks like this, right? It's, you know, got a ball and it's supposed to be a neck massager. Massaging the neck of that vagina is what the fuck. I loved it. I loved it. Because you had to plug it in. Wasn't no battery, you know, battery going down with this motherfucker. And I liked it personally, but my neighbors was pissed off because I was fucking up TV reception all up and down the block. Lights was flicking on and off and shit. And like, what is she doing over there? She vacuuming? It's 4:30 in the morning, Jesus Christ. So finally I found, after searching, I finally found the vibrator of my dreams. This motherfucker get the job done, ladies. You might want to get out your pen and paper. Honey, I like to call this bitch the Hachi Tachi 10,000. Okay? Now you can't get this just anywhere. You got to get this at a specialty shop. Okay, you got to get this at, like, Home Depot. This is a power tool. Okay, you gotta start this vibrator up like this. But you can't hold it on your pussy too long because you get a blister. I'm trying to save you from the aggravation and the pain. She has her own podcast, Cook. Please give it up for Kelsey Cook.
First time that I tried masturbating, I ended up in the emergency room. And it happened because I went through this super awkward puberty leading up to it. Like, when I was 15, that was the year that all of my friends lost their virginity, and I was the only one who hadn't yet. So I felt really left out. Like, my friends would talk about their favorite positions at lunch, and I would just bury myself in my sandwich, like, oh, cool, anal. Like, I was so naive. I had a very Lisa Simpson vibe in school. Like, a guy passed me a note in math class that just said 69 on it, and I didn't know what that meant yet. I thought he was starting a math game with me. So I just built onto it. I was like, 69 divided by 3 is 23. Your turn. He was like, the fuck? No, this is not what you think this is. And I got teased for not knowing, and I just, like, I kind of snapped, right? Like, there was too many things building up. I was so sick of feeling left out and clueless, and I was sick of waiting for a boyfriend to lose my virginity to. So I got this crazy idea, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna stick something up there so that I'll know what sex feels like and I can feel cooler around my friends. I know how mentally unstable this sounds, by the way. Anytime you go the homemade dildo route, never a great idea. But I was so desperate to fit in that I just decided to take matters into my own pussy. So, you know, I was like, this is happening now. So I went home from school. And I decided to, like, you know, look around the house for an object to lose my virginity to, you know. And just like anyone's first time, I was super nervous. Oh my God. And I went to my mom's bathroom closet because it was just full of like phallic wonders, right? Just like Sonicare toothbrush handles and travel size shampoo bottles. But the thing that really caught my eye was she had this handheld manicure tool. You could put little attachments on top to like buff your nails, but the handle was shaped like a dick. A little too much like a dick, by the way. Like, whoever designed it was definitely targeting curious teenage girls and lonely housewives. It was bright blue. It looked like Papa Smurf's boner. Just, ugh, so awkward. The only problem I didn't notice at the time was that it was made of a grippy rubber material. Yeah, there's a little foreshadowing for you. But again, I knew nothing about that hole and like what should or shouldn't go in there. So I draw my pants and I, you know, put my foot up on the side of the tub, as you do. You know. Hi, sir, by the way. This is weird for both of us. And I started to try and, you know, like make this happen, but I'm not aroused by anything that's going on. Frankly, I'm terrified. So I'm as dry as a dead man's mouth. Like, my body is not helping me at all. So that combined with this grippy rubber material, it's like a kid trying to go down an unsoaked slip and slide. It's just like... nothing. So I stop for a sec and... the sane part of my brain is like, dude, this is clearly not meant to be. You just need to wait to have regular person sex. And then the crazy part of my brain was like, I'm not a fucking quitter. Marty crouched over naked like Gollum. Like, we've come this far. Let's just throw the Hail Mary. So all of my desperation to fit in fueled my tiny pubescent wrist until I fit the manicure tool all the way inside of me. And then I just stood there frozen for a second with it and be like, ugh. And then I threw it out and I threw it in the trash and I got in the shower to like wash the shame off. And I knew that something was horribly wrong right away because I started to feel a burning and itching sensation. And I was like, oh, fuck. Okay, I'll look at it with a mirror and maybe it will look fine. What I saw in that mirror still haunts my dreams to this day. My crotch had swollen shut. Closed like the bank on a Sunday. My pussy looked like Rocky's eye turned sideways. Yeah, no bueno. So my stomach dropped. I was like, oh my God, I need medical attention. I'm gonna have to tell a doctor exactly what I just did. But before that, I'm gonna have to tell my mom because I need somebody to drive me to the doctor's office. Like, my puberty's just flashing before my eyes. Everything's coming to an end. So my mom is in bed at this point. She's doing like a crossword puzzle or something momsy. I walk in, pale as a ghost. She sees me, she's like, what's going on with you? What's wrong? And I was like, I don't know how to tell you this. Because you're never gonna see me the same way again. She was like, sweetie, nothing you tell me can make me stop loving you. And I was like, let's not say things we can't take back. I was like, I wanted to know what sex felt like, so I took your manicure tool and I put it in.
I put it inside me and now my vagina's gone. And my mom was like, wow. Well, we were gonna have corn dogs for dinner, but now that seems like a safety hazard, so. She's like, all right, get in the car, here we go to the doctor's office. So we drove down to the emergency clinic. I grew up in this tiny town. I've been seeing the same family doctor since I was like 5 years old. He's this 60-year-old Christian man. Very Steve from Blue's Clues type of energy. Not great for this situation. He has no idea how to handle it. He's just like, okay, Kelsey, we're all a little confused as to what you did. Something with a manicure tool. Susan, do you know? Nope, nobody knows. Okay. Do I need to have a little look-see at your undercarriage? I'm like, just put me down like an old animal. Oh my God, I can't do this. So he straps on his miner's headlight. To go spelunking for treasure. And he goes down and he pokes around with a Q-tip a little bit and he comes back up and he's like, all right, so, you know, from all the swelling and burning and inflammation, I can deduce that you are allergic to latex. So, you know, going forward, that means no latex condoms, no latex gloves. Please don't do anything with balloon animals. Let's not do that. So I left the clinic that day with that knowledge that I'm allergic to latex. All my future boyfriends have been very happy about that, right? You know, just high fives all around, no condoms. I'm just riddled with disease. Unfortunately, I didn't redeem my awkward reputation at school. You know, I did all that to try and fit in, and instead word spread around the school of what happened, and everybody was like, hey, old Harry Bush made her pussy disappear. Check that out. The world's worst magician over here. I was so embarrassed. Like, this haunted me for 10 years. I was just mortified about it. And I honestly thought I was done with my latex encounters until 2 years ago. When I moved to Los Angeles and I went to a new doctor for my annual exam, and I was lying back on the table, he did the whole like fingers inside your business. And then I sat up as he was taking his gloves off, and I was like, oh no. I was like, are those latex gloves? And he was like, yeah. Do you have an allergy? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, oh, I'm so sorry. What happens when you come into contact with it? And I was like, my vagina tries to kill itself. And he was like, oh, shoot. Okay, well, there's not much I can do for you right now. I can prescribe you some cream that you can spread down there. I was like, it's not a bagel. I don't want to do that. So he writes me this prescription and he walks out and I'm just standing there so pissed. I'm like, there's no way I'm going through this again. Like, there has to be a way around this. So my survival instincts kicked in and I locked the doctor's office door behind me and I got another crazy idea. I was like, okay, I'm gonna masturbate because if I can make myself come, I might be able to flush out the allergens. Before a reaction starts. I think Bill Nye would be pretty proud of my plan. There's obviously no scientific research behind this at all, but I was just like, I just have to try this. I have to go for it. I'm also standing there like, I can't believe that 10 years ago I tried masturbating and I gave myself an allergic reaction, and now I'm gonna masturbate to try to not have an allergic reaction. Really a decade of doing the Lord's work, this one. So, I'm racing against the clock at this point. Like, this reaction's coming. So I draw my pants, and I just, like, I close my eyes. I try to, like, find a way to be turned on. I picture that Channing Tatum's behind me just, like, you know, grinding it out, some Pony by Genuine, you know, just, like, really encouraging me. And by the power of Magic Mike, I came, and I did not have an allergic reaction. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Sometimes you gotta be your own douche. And now I think I should get the letters RX tattooed on these two fingers. They're the only prescription I need, motherfucker. All right, I'm Kelsey Cook. Thanks so much.
Kelsey Cook, everybody. Give it up for Kelsey Cook.
The sexual response cycle is divided into four distinct phases: excitement, plateau, orgasm, and resolution. There's no distinct beginning or end to any part of this cycle. It's more one continuous cycle of sexual response. But today I'm going to be talking to you about orgasm. There are many ways which we can achieve orgasm. We can achieve it mentally, we can achieve it through breathing techniques, we can achieve it through modalities that have nothing to do with sex itself or masturbation. But most of the orgasming that I'm going to be talking about today have to do with sex or masturbation, because that's where we are, most of us, in human consciousness at this point in time. Orgasm, also called sexual climax, is the sudden release of accumulated sexual energy. As far as the body is concerned, the orgasm is controlled by the autonomic nervous system, the same part of the nervous system that controls your heart rate, breathing, perspiration, and digestion. When men orgasm, first the seminal fluid collects in the urethral bulb. This is when a man may have the sensation that orgasm and ejaculation is certain. Next, semen is ejaculated from the penis. Contractions occur in the penis and pelvic region. When women orgasm, the vaginal walls contract rhythmically every 8/10 of a second. Of course, the number and intensity of the contractions vary depending on the individual orgasm. The muscles of the uterus also contract. When both people orgasm, breathing, pulse rate, and blood pressure continue to rise. Muscle tension and blood vessel engorgement reach a peak. Sometimes orgasm comes with a grasping type of muscular reflex of the hands and feet. The orgasm activates the pleasure center of the brain, releasing endorphins. It also causes our minds to temporarily lose control. In fact, one study from a university in the Netherlands found that when men and women reach orgasm, the lateral orbitofrontal cortex temporarily shuts down. This is the region of the brain that is responsible for behavior control. We are essentially in a deep state of surrender to the experience. During orgasm, our brains are flooded with oxytocin, which is the powerful brain chemical that inspires feelings of intimacy. Known as the cuddle hormone, oxytocin makes you feel connected to your partner. It bonds you to each other. Orgasms, especially the really good ones, can sometimes consume the entire body, not limiting themselves to the pelvic region. As far as your health is concerned, orgasms lead to feelings of euphoria and pleasure, which reduces stress, depression, and anxiety levels. It boosts the immune system. For those of you who like the effect that exercise has on the body, orgasm burns calories. It promotes relaxation and release of tension, which helps you sleep better. It increases circulation in the body and also the brain, leading to an increased mental sharpness. It helps alleviate pain. It helps cells in the body regenerate. And it inhibits the aging process. All of these physiological responses, which I've just mentioned, are of course just the physical reflection of something that is taking place on a more comprehensive energetic level. On an energetic level, when you're engaging in sex and you're reaching the point of orgasm, the entire body reaches a state of receptivity. Not only that, the energy within the body starts flowing faster. It's as if you were to break open the floodgates and all the channels of energy running through your body, the meridians and the chakras, were fully open to the unrestricted flow of source energy through your body. Alignment is occurring between the vibration of your physical perspective and the vibration of your non-physical perspective. And thus you experience a blending between the physical aspects of you and the non-physical aspects of you. During orgasm, your awareness of your own identity, or your own ego, as they call it, is dissolved. For this very reason, sex, and orgasm specifically, has been used in spiritual practice to attain enlightenment. It enables you to touch what is infinite. It enables the physical to access the non-physical. The best example of this that we have today, of course, is the practice of Tantra, where people use sex as a doorway to enlightenment. There are two main types of orgasm. The first is explosive, the second is implosive. Now, you can't get experts to agree on which is more healthy. Some people say that explosive orgasm is healthy because instead of building up pressure, it releases pressure. Other people say that implosive is restorative and healing, whereas explosive depletes you of energy. My stance on the subject is both explosive and implosive orgasms can be healthy, and both can be unhealthy, depending on how you use them. In an explosive orgasm, the energy moves out of the body like it does during an explosion. In an implosive orgasm, the energy moves inward so that it is retained within the body. An explosive orgasm is the best kind of orgasm to use for manifestation. It also creates the greatest release and therefore decreases stress levels the best. But it can cause you to feel depleted, and it is usually a shallower form of orgasm. The explosive orgasm is the one most natural to men. An implosive orgasm is the best kind of orgasm to use for healing or unity work. It pulls the partner's energy into you. It is restorative because it nourishes the body and soul and increases your energy levels. Instead of exploding outwards from you, it expands you from within. The implosive orgasm is the one most natural to women, but it can boost energy levels to an uncomfortable degree and allows people who are contained and who fear extending themselves towards others in any way to stay that way. Of course, the ideal scenario is to be able to decide or choose when you have one orgasm or when you have the other orgasm so that you can choose the orgasm which most corresponds to your current desires or needs. Every body is like a unique instrument. The time it takes and the stimulation it takes to achieve orgasm is going to vary from person to person. And the only way to learn how to play an instrument with no manual is to experiment. I could do a video just on the subject of why some people, most especially women, cannot achieve orgasm. But for the sake of this video, I will tell you that it has very little to do with the orgasm itself, and much more to do with the fact that people have such a difficult relationship with their bodies and such a difficult relationship with intimacy itself. It is true that for many of us, our craving for orgasm is a craving for relief. Relief in the form of release. This craving for release and for relief is what is behind the addiction to pornography. But ultimately, on a higher level, the progression towards orgasm and the craving for orgasm is the progression towards and craving for oneness. Just like love is the movement towards oneness, to love someone is to include them as you. To orgasm with someone as a byproduct of love is to become conscious of the experience of being one. It is to move beyond the physical world which separates us from one another. So you see, orgasm in and of itself unites us with our own infinite, multidimensional soul. We find alignment between the physical and non-physical self. And orgasm with a partner we feel love for unites us not only with our own non-physical self, but also with them. It is therefore an amplified experience of oneness. Love that is added to sex is no longer sex. Instead, it is a bridge to the great beyond. When you experience orgasm as a result of a divine union with someone else, you will experience infinity, you will experience unity, you will experience oneness. Which is why this particular video has to come with a warning. Until you learn how to give and receive love on an ongoing basis in your day-to-day life, something will occur after sex which is highly unwanted. What will happen is you will settle back into the experience of being completely separate. You will never feel more alone than you do after the act of sex. You have experienced touching source energy and being in a state of oneness, only to be thrust back in the state of singularity, of loneliness, of separation. And so a great depression, a great letdown, a great anxiety might occur. Orgasm involves the total self, mind, body, and soul all together. You are no longer in control. Existence itself has taken possession of you, and you do not know who you are. This is momentary enlightenment. It is a mini death so that you can experience being fully alive. Human life on Earth is ultimately the byproduct of orgasm. Orgasm and conception go hand in hand. The question is, what are you conceiving? For those of you who practice manifestation, the act of orgasm can be one of the most amazing tools for manifestation. Nothing matters more than what you are focusing on and feeling the experience of in the moment of orgasm. What you focus on, especially on a feeling-based level, is what you will conceive in your reality. Here's what I mean. If I'm having sex with my partner and focusing at him with my eyes, and am getting close to orgasming, while simultaneously thinking or feeling the sensation of being insecure about my body, then I will begin to hyper-manifest scenarios in my reality where I am caused to feel insecurity about my body. Another example is, if I am orgasming and thinking about bondage-type fantasies where I'm being dominated, I will begin to hyper-manifest scenarios in my reality where I am being dominated. And whereas I might have an emotional attachment or some kind of a psychological attachment to the sexuality of being dominated when I am engaged in a sexual action, in my day-to-day life, being dominated might not feel so good. This is a crucial realization because we live in an era where our sexual practices are becoming increasingly deviant. When our sexual and orgasmic practices become more deviant, so does our collective reality. There's a corny way to visualize what is occurring during an orgasm. Think back to the old kids' movies you used to watch. The fairy or wizard would focus really hard, repeating an incantation with the wave of their wand and a huge energetic release. The thing they were trying to conjure would manifest before their eyes, usually in a cloud of sparkling smoke. In the minute of orgasm, the accumulated energy that has built up is released, and you can aim and lend that powerful burst of energy towards what you desire, thus manifesting it into reality. It is best that if you can, during the orgasm, and also during the build-up to the orgasm, focus on emotionally and mentally experiencing the very thing which you wish to manifest. We can use sex to manifest loving relationships or deepen the bond with our specific partner by focusing emotionally and mentally on the sensation of bonding with them and unification and harmony with them. We can also use sex and masturbation to manifest things that are entirely unrelated to sex. For example, some people like to use orgasm as a tool for career advancement. When it comes to sex, we are habitual creatures. That means that when you do something which turns you on enough to climax, you now forever build a neurocircuit in your brain, which tells you that that is going to be your modus operandi for achieving climax. For this reason, until you develop your sexual abilities more, you might choose to use the excitement and the plateau phase of the sexual response cycle to focus on what already turns you on. And then, when orgasm feels imminent, switch your focus to whatever it is that you wish to manifest. For example, a man may have a difficult time with the idea of getting sexually aroused by the idea of promotion, but job promotion is what he most wants to manifest in his life. But he does know that what turns him on is watching a man and a woman have sex. So, in his mind, he creates a scenario where he is observing a man and a woman having sex, and he feels himself becoming sexually excited. He reaches the excitement and the plateau phase of the sexual response cycle. Then, when he feels as if ejaculation or orgasm is imminent, he switches his focus to the experience of the job promotion. He allows the feeling of the climax to amplify the sensations of achievement and glory and relief and pride of promotion. He allows the feeling of the climax to enhance and focus the image in his mind of the people that are there and the way the room looks and smells. He will use his orgasm to make the scenario as real as possible on all levels, as if he is living it at that very moment. And he will hold on to it as his mental and emotional focus as long as he possibly can, completely through the resolution phase. And if he drifts off to sleep, he has then added the state of allowing to the art of manifestation, and thus amplified it further. Another example is, a woman might be acutely aware of her extreme desire for a long-term committed relationship with a man who wants her completely. If she's having sex with somebody, and she doesn't know if that particular man is going to feel that way about her, she focuses on the feeling of his energy coming all the way into her body, reaching into her heart area. Now, instead of focusing on things like the ceiling fan, or whether she left the gas on the stove on, or whether her legs are shaved, she puts herself completely in a space of visualizing what it would feel like on an emotional level, what it would look like for her to be in that committed long-term relationship with someone who wanted her completely. Maybe she's imagining herself getting married. She's doing whatever she needs to do to reach climax, but most especially during climax, she is putting herself completely in the experience of that thing she wants to manifest. She sinks into the feeling of security, of having his energy fully and unconditionally invested in her. Maybe she loses herself in the feeling of the complete connection with the man she is actually with. Maybe she imagines the scenario of getting married in detail, or walking hand in hand with somebody on the beach in detail. The most important thing is that in the moment of orgasm, she emotionally experiences the feeling of emotional security and love and being wanted that she wants to manifest. She maintains that focus throughout the duration of the orgasm and resolution phase. Either the man she is currently sleeping with becomes this committed partner, or the universe draws him away to make space for the man who's actually a vibrational match to that level of commitment that she has been asking for. So go ahead and try this technique. We are all energy. We can use this energy that is in and of us to give shape, form, and dimension to our desires. Because of this, all that's left to say is, be conscious of what you're wishing for. Have a good week.
When he plays with fire, watch those flames growing higher. He calls Mayday.
Mayday.
He calls Mayday.
Mayday.
You're in a mess. You better SOS. Call Mayday. Buds start budding. They know it's spring. Young man's fancies turn to just one thing. It's Mayday.
Mayday.
Oh, it's Mayday. Everyone gets his fun on May Day. Now I'm the type that travels fast. Looks like you've just been outclassed. Call May Day.
May Day.
Call Mayday.
Mayday.
See how it feels to spin your wheels. It's Mayday. Oh. Like I always say, Mayday. It's my day.
I am Velocity Child, and every Friday at the stroke of midnight, ride the broomstick with Fallen Woman, a weekly psychic fusion of forward thoughts, far out ideas, magical foray, and spellbinding song, stirring up the cauldron at Radio Free Brooklyn.